Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. I've been preaching a series of messages that I've simply entitled The Doors to Blessing. And we've been discovering this truth, and that is that God really does want to bless you. And we've discovered that the blessings of God oftentimes are accompanied by what we've described as a door. That is a door that we have to step through, and on the other side of that door are indeed the blessings of God. Some of you have been here all through this series of messages, and we've dealt with many doors in the Bible. I guess they would be endless, but we are going to end the series of messages at some point. We've talked about the door of salvation, and we discovered that Jesus is the door in John chapter number 10. He is the door. And we discovered not only the door of salvation, but listen now, those of you that have turned to Christ and received Him as the Lord of your life, there is the door of supplication. God has set before you, believers, a door of prayer. And that is that you can pray. And listen to me now, if you'll call out to God, He'll show you great and mighty things or blessings for those who step through the door of supplication. I've talked about the door of obedience. And that is that those who hear from God and receive direction from God, if you'll obey Him, God will bless you. If you disobey, then listen, He will not. We've talked about the door of humility, and we've discovered this general truth, and that as many times right before the greatest blessings is the greatest humility for God's people, the humbling process. We've discovered that there's a door of giving, and that is for those who are willing to give and share, they will be blessed. And by the way, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We've discovered that there is the door of repentance, and that is as God reveals sin in our life, just like we see in Isaiah 1, when God reveals sin, that we need to repent, and if we will repent, we'll eat the good of the land. If not, be devoured by the enemy. You'll either eat or be eaten, depending on whether or not you repent. We've talked about the door of separation. The man who's blessed, according to the very first psalm, the very first verse, is the one who separates himself. Listen, he doesn't walk in the path of the ungodly, sit in the seat of the ungodly, and in the seat of the scornful, or stand in the way of sinners. That's the man who's blessed. He sets himself apart. The door of separation. We've talked about the door of Scripture most recently, and that is the Bible tells us that the man who's blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law that they meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree, listen, planted by the rivers of water. I tell you, listen now, he'll bear fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither. He will be blessed. When the Word of God becomes your delight, God will bless you. And so I want you to think with me for a few moments based on Galatians chapter number 3 on what I'm simply going to refer to as the door of promise. Many of the blessings of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we find in the Word of God are experienced when God's people step through the door of promise. In other words, those who've received Christ, when God saved you, you step through a door, and that is the door of promise. That is, the promises of God became ours in Christ, and those promises bring blessings into our life. And right here in Galatians chapter number 3, there's a strong emphasis on blessing. It is a word that is used here, and the blessings that is revealed here is a blessing that is connected to God's promises. That is, when God made a promise in the Old Testament, particularly to a man named Abraham, it was in terms of a covenant. As a matter of fact, when you're studying the Bible, it's impossible to have a thorough and an accurate understanding of the Bible unless you understand the covenants that God made. And we find that one of those covenants was a covenant that God made with Abraham. And in the covenant that God made with Abraham, there were indeed promises that were made. And listen to me now, those promises were connected to a blessing. In other words, God was promising to bless Abraham and also his descendants. He promised that He would make him a great nation. He promised Abraham that his seed or descendants would be like the sand of the sea and like the stars of the sky in number, and that He would bless them. And so God made a covenant with Abraham that promised a blessing upon Abraham and also a blessing upon his descendants or upon his children. And the Jews in the first century that Paul would be dealing with, and when he writes to the Galatians, they just assumed that since they were the natural descendants of Abraham and Isaac, that they were the ones who inherited these promises, the promised blessings of that covenant that God made with Abraham. But Paul is telling them here in this passage that they are wrong. And that is, it's those who have believed like Abraham believed. They are the ones, ladies and gentlemen, who have inherited the promises. They've stepped through the door of promise and have received the blessings of the covenant. I'm going to say that again. It is those who have believed that have stepped through the door of promise, and having stepped through the door of promise, have inherited or received the blessings that were promised to Abraham, including, ladies and gentlemen, the uncircumcised Gentiles that were living in the area of Galatia. Even they, that is those who were not connected to Judaism, even they had stepped through the door of promise, and they had received the wonderful blessings that were promised in the covenant that God made with Abraham. Paul is arguing here that Gentiles who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the ones who have indeed received the blessings. That is, the blessings that were promised to Abraham when God met with him. And those blessings have come to them in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You are blessed. Listen to me now. If you're saved, then you step through a door when God saved you. It is the door of promise. Because the promises of God have been brought to completion and fulfillment in one person, and that person's name is Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, the promises of God are made yea. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians they are made yea or possible in Him. He is the fulfillment of the promises, and those who have received Him have stepped through the door of promise. And listen to me now, connected to those promises are wonderful blessings. Now in this passage, now this is a little bit of Bible study, so if you came for Sermon Light today, you may be a little disappointed, amen? And you may get a little steak instead of just a little milk today. Are y'all okay for that? I thought so. So what is these blessings that are connected to these wonderful promises in the Bible? Well, one of the blessings is laid out for us here, and it's very clear, and that is, it is the blessing of justification, or the blessing of righteousness. I want you to see it here in verse number 13 and verse number 14 particularly. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now notice verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Notice that phrase again in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't really understand what it is that it's talking about here when it talks about the blessing of Abraham that has now been received by Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Well, that means that you got to back up a little bit and find out the context of what it is that the apostle's referring to here in Galatians chapter number 3. What is it that was, what was the blessing that was promised to Abraham? That is the blessing that he could receive, and that also you and I can receive through Jesus Christ. What is this blessing? I submit to you that the blessing is the blessing of justification or righteousness in the sight of God. Go back to verse number 6. And the Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There it is. And that is, the Bible tells us here in verse number 6 that the wonderful blessing that Abraham received, ladies and gentlemen, is the blessing of righteousness. Now, God promised that blessing. It is the promise of God. And listen to me now, Abraham received that. And listen, you and I can receive the same blessing that Abraham received, because the promise wasn't just to Abraham, but the promise was also to you and I as well. And listen, when you turn to Jesus Christ, you step through that door of promise. You did. Through the door of promise in the covenant that God made with Abraham. And you receive the wonderful blessing of righteousness, or what is later referred to with the word justify or justification. Let me explain what that means, and that is what justification is. It is a Bible word. You say, Pastor, I don't like those big words. Listen to me now. This is a Bible word, and this is Bible hour, okay? And if you want to have an entertainment hour, you came to the wrong place. This is Bible. The word justification, you'll never understand the Bible until you understand this. And that is that justification is an act of God's grace. God in His grace, when He pardons all of our sin and accepts us as righteous in His sight. God forgives us all of our sin and accepts us as righteous in His sight. Not our righteousness, ladies and gentlemen, but the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, given to us as a free gift, and received by faith in Christ alone. Don't make me have to repeat that. Justification. When God justifies a sinner, that means on the basis of His grace, God forgives us of all of our sins, and He accepts us as righteous in His sight. But not because we're righteous, but because the righteousness of Christ has been given to us or placed to our account freely, and that is received by faith in Christ alone. And listen to me now, that's what justification is. And listen to me now, justification is connected to a promise. A promise. In other words, on one side we have promise, on the other side we have law. And ladies and gentlemen, righteousness, a right relationship with God, is not connected to the law, but it is connected to the promise. And Paul distinguishes between the two here in Galatians 3 and also again in Romans chapter number 4. So that a right standing with God, you say, Pastor, I want to know for sure that I'm right with God. I want to know that I'm right with God. Righteousness with God, being right with God, listen to me now, is not connected to the law and obedience to it. It is connected to a promise and faith in that promise. In the Old Testament, the promise is yet unfulfilled. In the New Testament, in our day, the promise is fulfilled in Christ. That is, it's been brought to fulfillment and provided in Christ. But it is a promise that you and I put our faith in and we believe in. It is not a work that we do. Righteousness is not a reward that is given for good works. It is a promise that is received by faith. I'll say that again. Righteousness before God is not a reward for good works, but it is a promise that can only be received by faith, and that faith resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what the point is in this passage. And by the way, that's one of the main emphases here in Galatians chapter number 3, and that's why we're spending a little bit of time on this. And that is that in the book of Galatians, for example, we are brought face to face with this great truth of Scripture throughout the book, as a matter of fact, and that is this truth of justification, of being made right with God by faith. That only those who are right with God, those who are right with God, are those who have received Christ by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, outside of Christ, our standing before God as human beings is one of sin and guilt and condemnation. And we'll say that again so you remember it. And that is outside of Christ, our standing before God is one of sin and guilt and condemnation before God. That is, that you and I are sinners. We're guilty before God. We've broken His law. We stand before Him guilty. We are all equally guilty before God. There's no exception. We're all sinners and we're equally guilty and we are equally condemned in the sight of a holy and righteous God. But out of the mass of lost humanity, God has redeemed and saved some. He rescued some from their awful condition, and having forgiven them of all of their sin, He's accepted them as righteous in His sight. Not because they've done anything righteous, but because the righteousness of Christ has been given to them as a free gift. And the question is, how is it that those who are right in the sight of God, how did they get that way? How did they get that way? That is, how did they become right with God? How is it that they stepped through this door of promise and received the wonderful blessing of justification? How did they get through that door? God gave the promise, and they've received the blessing of it, but how did they step through that door? Did they do something that caused God to reward them with forgiveness and righteousness? Was it because they followed the law, the Ten Commandments, and did the best they could? Well, there were some in Paul's day that said that's exactly right. Those who are right in the sight of God and are those who are following the traditions of Judaism, That is, that they are the ones who look to the law, the Old Testament law, and they, as a result, are circumcised and following the laws and traditions of Judaism. But Paul's message is clear, and that is that we are made right with God not by keeping the law, but by faith, or through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way to step through the door of promise is by faith. And that faith resting in Christ alone. In Him alone. You see, the Bible says in this same book in chapter 2 and verse 16 that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You cannot be made right with God. You can't receive the blessing of justification by working and doing well and by trying to keep the law. It is impossible. You will not be made right with God. The false teachers in the area of Galatia that this letter was written to, that's what they were teaching, that we are justified or accepted as righteous before God by keeping the law. But Paul taught that it's impossible for sinful humans to be made right with God by keeping the law. You just can't do it. And that the only means, the only way to be made right with God, ladies and gentlemen, is through what Jesus did for us when He died in our place on the cross. And when He was raised the third day. That's the only means by which we can be made right with God. Remember now, righteousness is not a reward for our works. It is a promise received by faith. Salvation by works is what these false teachers were teaching. They had infiltrated the Galatian churches. They were turning the Galatians away from the gospel of grace that Paul had preached to another gospel. Paul addresses it in chapter 1. And in chapter 2 and now again in chapter number 3, he begins to explain to them why it is impossible to be made right with God by works, and that the only way to be made right with God is by faith. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so you step through the door of promise. He's defending the gospel of grace. He's giving them evidence in chapter number 3. That is, he's going to prove his point. He's going to nail it and he's going to take them back to the Old Testament that they relished in, to the most famous person in the Old Testament, Abraham, and he's going to demonstrate to them by Abraham, that is the father of the Jewish nation, and demonstrate to them by the life, the conversion of Abraham, that indeed it's impossible to be made right with God by keeping the law. And the reason why is obvious in this passage. He's going to demonstrate it in the conversion of Abraham. That's why he brings up in verse number 6 Abraham and says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham is a testimony. That is, his conversion is a testimony, ladies and gentlemen, to this truth. And that is that the only way to be justified is by faith. By grace through faith, and that is not by the works of the law. And it should be evident, that is, in your Bible. That is, everybody who has read the Bible ought to understand that the only way to be made right with God is by stepping through the door of promise. That is, you've got the law, you've got the promise. If you try to step through the door of law, you will not be made right with God. It is only by stepping through the door of promise, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, so you can be made right with God and not by the works of the law. That's going to be his point. When was Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, when was it that he was made right with God? That is, when was he considered, when did God accept him as righteous in his sight? The Bible says here that it was when he believed God, that it was accounted to him for righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham was not made right with God because he kept the law. But did you know that when Abraham was made right with God that the law wasn't even given yet? But Moses wasn't even around. No, there was no law when Abraham was made right with God. He was not made right by keeping the Old Testament law of the Ten Commandments because there were no commandments, that is, the Ten Commandments given yet. Abraham was not made right with God because he obeyed God. Abraham was made right with God because he trusted in God alone, based on the revelation from God that he had received. Now this verse 6 is really a quotation from Genesis 15 and verse number 6. If you go back to the life of Abraham, you'll find out that when he was made right with God occurred in Genesis 15 and verse number 6. There's a lot that could be said about Abraham, about that day that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But let me just say a few things. And that is, the Bible tells us here that when Abraham was made right with God, that we would use our terminology for that experience would be, that's when he got saved. That's when Abraham got saved. That's whenever his sin was forgiven and righteousness was given to him. That he was justified before God. And before this time, Abraham was not justified. He was not right before God. He was not what we consider to be saved. Now, when you consider Abraham's life, that is something to think about. It really is. Now, this may be startling to a few of you, but listen. God spoke to Abraham and told him to leave his home in Ur of the Chaldees. And God said that he would make him a great nation. Go to a land that I will tell you of. I'll make you a great nation. And you know what Abraham did? He took his wife and his nephew and he got up and he did what God said. He packed up and he left in Genesis chapter number 12. Abraham heard God speak and he obeyed what God said, but he was not justified yet. In Genesis chapter number 12 verses 6 through 8, God spoke to Abraham promising him the land of Canaan. And Abraham built an altar and he begins to worship and devote himself to God. He even calls on the name of the Lord in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 8, but he's still not justified yet. In Genesis chapter number 12, Abraham goes down into Egypt because of the famine in the land. He lies about his wife, says that she is his sister. So Pharaoh takes her into his home to be one of his wives. God puts a stop to it by sending a plague on Pharaoh and his house so that Pharaoh brings Abram's wife back and says, take her, I don't want her, she's nothing but trouble. Take her back and get out of here, please. God watched over Abraham and he protected him in a miraculous way, but he's still not justified yet. Some of you might look at your life and you say, I know I'm saved and right with God because God protected me. He protected Abraham, but he's still not saved yet. In Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot are so blessed by God that they, with material prosperity, that they have to part ways. They have to go each other their own separate ways. But even though God had blessed Abraham, he still is not at Genesis 15, 6 yet. He's still not there. You say, well, God has blessed me. I must be saved because look how God has blessed me. God blessed Abraham, but he still is not right yet. When you read Genesis 13, you'll find that God spoke to Abraham and told him to walk through the land of Canaan. Walk through the land. I'm going to give you this land and to your descendants, which are going to be like the dust of the earth in number. And Abraham responded to what God said by building an altar, but he's still not right before God yet. We're still not to Genesis 15, 6. So, Pastor, I know that I must be saved because I go to church and I sing the hymns. And listen, Abraham built an altar, ladies and gentlemen, but he still is not right in the sight of God. In Genesis 14, Abraham defeats the kings that have captured his nephew, Lot. He offers up tithes and he blesses God who had given them such a mighty deliverance. But even though he tithed, even though he had seen the power of God, he still is not right before God yet. Now picture this, if you would. I know it's startling to many minds, but Abraham has heard the voice of God. He's obeyed what God has said. He's built altars to God. He's been protected by God. He's been blessed materially by God. He's offered up tithes to God, and he still is not right in the sight of God yet. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how that could be. I'm going to tell you, it is because, listen to me now, justification or salvation is not by works at all. Not at all. Not at all. You say, you mean to tell me if you live right and do what God says and you go to church and you give and you do all those things, that doesn't mean you're right with God? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Nobody can be made right with God by doing anything good. Abraham was a good man and he did what God said to do, but he still is not right with God. Now you're starting to get the picture of the Bible, aren't you? That is, we are so sinful and so corrupt that we are beyond being able to do anything to make ourselves right in the sight of God. Redemption and salvation, justification comes, ladies and gentlemen, by faith alone. Not faith plus living right, but faith alone. It was not until God brought Abraham to the point in Genesis chapter number 15 that Abraham put all of his trust in God alone, without anything else, that he was counted righteous in the sight of God. In Genesis 15, God gave Abraham a promise, ladies and gentlemen, and the promise is the promise that he gave him originally in Genesis 12, and that it is the promise of descendants that are going to be as many as the stars of the sky. And God said that his descendants would not come from his steward, Eleazar, because you see, that's what Abraham thought. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have any children. If God is going to keep his promise, then he's going to help God out. And that is, he's going to take as many would in that day, many wealthy men would take his steward, and his steward would have children in their place, and they would adopt them, they would consider them their old children. That's the only thing that this old man and his wife can do. They're beyond the age of childbearing, she's barren, they can't have any children, they're older now. That would be the only other reasonable thing to do. And yet God said, no, it's not going to be that way. You and Sarah are going to have a baby. Now listen, they're old. When I say old, I mean old, old. And they're going to have a baby? God said, yes. Abraham looked at himself, he looked at his wife and said, it's impossible. And listen to me now, there wasn't anything he could do. God had brought him to a place that there was not anything that he could do. Nothing. To bring about the fulfillment of this promise. And all he could do, ladies and gentlemen, is the one thing you can do without doing anything. And he believed. He trusted in the promise of God. And listen to me, at the very moment that he came to the end of himself, and he trusted completely in what God said. Listen to me now. At that very moment, he was declared righteous in the sight of God. That was the moment when God saved Abraham. Yeah. And listen, that's still how God operates today. You see, how do you get to the point of knowing that you're righteous? What's the door? It's the door of promise. God has given us a promise yet unfulfilled in the Old Testament. But he has provided the promise for us and fulfilled it in the person of Jesus Christ. And listen to me now. God justifies the sinner. When a sinner comes to the point at the end of yourself, when you have nothing to offer, where you have nothing to give, where you can't do anything except simply believe on what Jesus did when he died for you on the cross. That's right. It's not believing in yourself. It's not believing in your ability to do something. Listen, it's not believing in your ability to pray a certain prayer. You say, well, Pastor, I know I prayed those certain words. It's not your prayer that saves. It's Jesus' death on the cross. And listen, when God saves a sinner, he brings you to the point that you have nothing but just him. And your heart rests and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, his work on the cross and his resurrection the third day. Abraham was made right with God. He was saved when he believed God's promise. That promise is provided today in Christ. It's an amazing story, isn't it? And Paul uses it as an example here. And that is, he's telling us that Abraham was justified when he stepped through the door of promise. When he stepped through the door of promise. And he stepped through that door when he believed. Not when he left Ur of the Chaldees. Not when he defeated the kings in chapter 14. Not when him and Lot departed ways. No. When he believed. The same is still true, and Paul's using that as an example here. That Abraham's conversion is an example for us. You see, what we need to understand is that Abraham was not justified because of what he did. There was nothing he could do. He was too weak to provide children, but he trusted God at that moment. He was justified. Paul tells the same story again in the book of Romans in chapter number 4, if you want to read it there. The Bible tells us that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but ladies and gentlemen, he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now listen, when God brings a sinner to the point that it did Abraham, to the end of ourselves, so that you trust in His promise provided at the cross, and that alone, it's there that we have stepped through the door of promise and received the wonderful blessing of justification before God. Just as the Galatians were hearing this, they were reading this word from God, and many of them had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are Gentiles. They're not Jews. And they had received a promise, and that is the promise of the gospel about what Jesus did and when He died on that cross. And they put all of their trust in Him and Him alone, and God saved them. And that's the message that Paul's trying to get across to them. That is, he's trying to reveal to them this wonderful promise, the promise fulfilled in Christ. And they rested their faith and their trust in Him. God saves sinners by faith. I want you to get this. God has never saved sinners on the basis of their works. Never has. Not even with Abraham. But always on the basis of faith. From the beginning of humanity, those who have been saved and made right with God are those who've been brought to the point of complete trust in God's promise. In the Old Testament, the promise yet to be fulfilled. In the New Testament, the promise that was fulfilled in Christ. Those who are saved are those who have trusted in Christ alone and what He did on the cross. Salvation is not about whether or not you've obeyed God's commands and lived a good life. It's not about whether you've been blessed by God and experienced His goodness. Salvation is about whether or not you've been brought to the point of trusting in Christ and His work on the cross alone for redemption. Here's Paul's point to the Galatians. Abraham is counted as righteous when he believed in Genesis 15:6. This is 14 years before he was circumcised. It's centuries before the law was given to Moses. And he's making a point to the false teachers in Galatia who are saying this: you can't be right with God, you Gentiles, unless you become Jews by receiving the rite of circumcision and following the laws and traditions of Judaism. And here's Paul's message: only a fool would believe that message. That's what he's saying in Galatians. You are foolish, chapter 3 and verse number 1, Galatians, if you believe that message. And I say to you, those of you that are here, and you say, Pastor, I believe if you just try to live a right life, that, you know, then you're right with God. If you just try to live right and do right, listen to me now. You, my sir, are just as foolish as these Galatians are. That's right. Just as foolish. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why it is. I mean, how could you say that about me? Because I know how you are. You say, but you don't even know me, but I know how you are. Because you are like me. And like everybody else in this room, and that is that you and I are sinners. We have a sinful nature, and we don't live up to God's standards. We don't keep His commandments. We don't keep His laws. We break God's laws. And according to the Word of God, God lays out a standard in the law, and that standard is holiness. It's righteousness. It's perfection. And there's not anybody that's met up to that standard. And so for that reason, you and I are sinners, and we are guilty, and it is now impossible for us to save ourselves. It's impossible for us to do anything right enough to save ourselves or make ourselves right in the sight of God. There's no hope for us to be saved by our good works. The only hope is a wonderful promise that God has given. And that promise is the promise revealed in these verses. Look at verse number 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now the Galatians, those who are Jews, thought they were the children of Abraham who inherited the blessings promised to Abraham because they were his physical descendants. But no, it's those who are of faith who believed. And the Scripture foreseeing that God, listen to me, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now that little message there that is in Genesis chapter number 12, when God promised Abraham, He gave him a promise. He said, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. You're going to become a great nation. And listen to me now. And in you, out of your descendants, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. The gospel, that is, the Apostle Paul tells us here that that was a gospel message to Abraham. There's the gospel. in you, from your descendants, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And that promise that leads to a blessing, ladies and gentlemen, is not just to the Jews, but to all nations blessed through him. And listen to me now, we're about to celebrate that occurrence, and that is that God sent his son into the world. That is, the seed or descendant of Abraham that would bring blessing to all the nations is Jesus Christ, that would come into the world and die for us on the cross and be raised the third day. Those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, the Bible says in verse number 9, because the gospel was preached to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. In you and your descendants, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And those of you that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you step through that door of promise. You, that ancient promise that God gave to Abraham, you stepped into that promise. You have inherited the blessing of that promise. And the blessing connected to the promise is justification. When God said, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, Paul is telling us in Galatians chapter number 3, that blessing is the blessing that Abraham received when he believed, and that is, it was counted to him for righteousness. And listen, you are the recipient of that blessing as well. You've stepped through that door of promise. You have, who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave Abraham a promise of land, didn't he? And that is, God said to Abraham, this land that I'm going to show you, this is going to be your land, and it's going to be the land where your descendants are going to live. Now, it was hundreds of years later before they entered into the land, but God gave them a promise. And do you know that by faith, they stepped through that door of promise? Yeah. Well, did you know that there was a man named Moses who saw a burning bush that didn't burn up, and God said, take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground. And he said, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to tell my people who are in captivity in Egypt that I'm going to deliver them out of Egypt and bring them into the land that I have promised them. And do you know that Moses went down into Egypt, and he went to Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. And when he did that, you know what he was doing? He was stepping through the door of promise. God promised to give them the land, and he's stepping through that door by faith. That's right. Do you know the Israelites heard the message? They saw the 10 plagues, and there came that fateful night whenever the death angel passed through the land, and the Bible tells us that all of the firstborn died except for those where the blood had been placed on the doorpost of their home. And their firstborn was saved. And Moses said the next day when Pharaoh said, get out of here, Moses said, now's time to go. Let's go right now. And do you know that they left the land of Egypt and they traveled into the wilderness area, left Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea and God parted the Red Sea. And do you know when they were passing over on dry ground, you know they were stepping through the door of promise. You say, why were they doing that? Because God promised them the land. He promised it to them. And by faith, they followed Moses, the man of God, and they passed through the Red Sea, and they were passing through a door of promise on their way to their blessing, that is the land of Canaan. About 40 years later, there was a few stumbling blocks along the way. About 40 years later, Joshua led the next generation across the Jordan River. Remember, God parted the river? And ladies and gentlemen, when Joshua said, let's go, and they stepped down to the river and the waters parted, do you know that they were stepping through the door of promise? Because God promised them that land. Do you know when they got over on the other side of the river and God told them to march around the city of Jericho? Remember that? God said, here's what I want you to do. Here's the battle plan. You march around the city of Jericho every day on the seventh day, march around 7 times, and the walls will come tumbling down and you can take that city. Remember that? Oh, listen, if you can picture in your mind those Israelites marching around the city of Jericho, what you're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is them stepping through the door of promise. God said, I'll give you this city. And they were believing and trusting in him. I said all of that so I can say to you that God gave Abraham a greater promise than the land. He promised him the land. And the only way they can take the land is by stepping through the door of promise by faith. But there's a greater promise. When God said to Abraham, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, the promise that he is promising is the promise of righteousness. The same thing that Abraham received in Genesis 15:6, when it says he believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Greater than the land is righteousness, a right standing before God. That's right. And like the land, the only way to receive that blessing is to step through the door of promise by faith. Abraham found that out. He couldn't do anything to bring this promise about. He was too old. His wife was too barren. And he got to the point that all he could do was believe. And all of a sudden, righteousness was given to him as a free gift. And do you know that that's still how God operates? A promise. And that promise that God gave to Abraham was fulfilled in Christ. As a matter of fact, Abraham had a good idea about that. Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, Paul writes, or Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. The gospel was preached before to Abraham in the form of a promise, and he believed. Listen to me now. Righteousness, or right standing, the blessing of being justified right with God, is a promise that can only be received by faith. It's not a reward that's received by a good life. A promise received by faith, and that faith in Christ and Him alone. Well, that's what he's talking about here in verse 14. Look at it again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that is through Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. Let me ask you this question. And that is, has ever been a time in your life where God revealed to you that you are a sinner, lost, and brought you to the point that you are at the end of yourself? And as a lost sinner in desperate need of forgiveness and righteousness, you had nothing to offer, you had nothing to give, you could do nothing but cling to the cross and trust in what Jesus did when he died for you and paid the price for you on the cross. That trusting not in yourself, not in your pastor, not in your church, not in your works, but in Christ, in his work on the cross, in him alone. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure I really believe all of that. But you see, the Bible tells us here in this passage of Scripture that it is impossible for anyone to be made right with God by any of works on our own. Because we're too sinful, we're too corrupt, we're too far gone. As a matter of fact, those who try to step through the door of law to be made right with God, on the other side is nothing but curse. Look at it real quick and then I'll close. The Bible says in verse number 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, ladies and gentlemen. It ought to be evident to everybody, because as Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Here's his point in all of that, and that is that if you try to step through the door of law by your good works, then you'll be cursed. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. How could it be that I would be cursed if I try to be saved by living right? Because you won't live right. And the law, instead of bringing blessing, curses you, because the law reveals your sin. It reveals how sinful we are, and the law condemns sin, and the consequences of sin in the law is death. And so you and I come to under the curse of the law because of our sinfulness. If you try to step through the door of law and say, I'm going to try to live right to be made right with God, on the other side of that door is a curse that says you're a sinner and you deserve death, you deserve separation from God, you deserve eternity separated from God forever. On the other hand, there's another door. It's a door of promise. God said, listen, Abraham, I'll bless you. And all the nations of the earth through you will be blessed. There is a seed coming, a descendant coming. And we find out that seed or descendant is Christ. And in him, you can be blessed with justification or righteousness. And the only way to step through that door is by faith. It is by believing. And those who step through the door of promise, ladies and gentlemen, by faith. On the other side is the blessing of righteousness or justification before God. Let me ask you this question. What door are you trying to step through? The door of law or promise? Which door? Let's pray. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would operate in such a way. Those who are here that have never met you, never received you, never encountered you, Father, be brought to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Might experience the mercy that God only you can give through faith and the promise of your word. God, I pray, Father, that you'll save that one that's lost. And I thank you for your people. God, so many who are here, Father, that if God have stepped through that door of promise, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, have turned to him, received him as Lord. God, I pray that you'd, Father, just strengthen us, Lord. We'll understand even more fully, based on your word, that God, we entered into a relationship with you when we stepped through that door, in which you've accepted us righteous in your sight. Bless, Father, your people. Help us in these moments. I pray, Father, for those who've been trusting in something or someone other than Jesus, that God, you might destroy that deception and let them see themselves as undone and unrighteous and in desperate need of what Christ did on that cross, his death and his resurrection. Would you, in this moment, draw those individuals to yourself, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Just a moment.